Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, September 1st, 2020.
Bitcoin is up more than 2%, crossing over 12,000, and ETH is up almost 10%, trading today between 477 and 493. ETH is on a tear.
And Ethereum transaction fees set a record high once again as DeFi becomes even pricier. As always, thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a DeFi and digital asset management platform that does allocation monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right. First, Bitcoin Cash, the fork is imminent and the knives are coming out.
Yeah, the Bitcoin Cash fork is looking like it's going to happen around November 15th. The very high level is that Bitcoin Cash was obviously a fork of Bitcoin from back in the day. One of the developers of the core of the node software for Bitcoin Cash has a very controversial change that they are looking to push into the protocol. The change essentially takes a bit of a percentage, 8% of every block mining fee, and sends it back to the developer of the software. So it's basically, people are looking at it as more or less an 8% tax on Bitcoin Cash just for using the software. Obviously, it's not popular. People think, you know, people think that Bitcoin Cash should be using the normal open source model of patronage, essentially, where you send money if you like the software. But this is sort of around the bend. The big issue here, though, is that when you fork, no one really owns, there's no trademark on Bitcoin Cash. And so it ends up being a fight of a trademark in sort of the most original sense of like the identity, the ideology trademark or the identity, or even like the mind share. And so today Roger Ver came out and officially said that Bitcoin ABC, which is Omri's fork that has the IFP, the additional tax on it, he called it out as the fork. So he said, Bitcoin ABC is forking off of Bitcoin Cash as of November 15th. That might seem rather innocuous, but it was really putting a stake in the ground saying, hey, we're Bitcoin Cash and your Bitcoin ABC is a totally separate protocol. It's the one forking off, not us. This is the first of many shots that will be fired in the what is a intellectual trade war, trademark trade war.
All right, next, Singapore Stock Exchange lists crypto indices for the first time, listing Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Yeah, this is super exciting. I mean, look, we're all waiting for the ETF to hit the United States. Like, everyone wants there to be a instrument in the United States, publicly traded, that anyone could buy into, that you can put into your IRA. That is the, you know, different people will argue about when Bitcoin is really going to hit mainstream and when the price goes to $100,000, or like the Winklevoss, like Tyler Winklevoss said, to $500,000. A lot of people think that happens when casual U.S. investors, retail investors in the U.S. can get into Bitcoin. Right now, it's still pretty tricky. You have to have hardware wallets. You have to know where to go. You have to put your credit card in, your license ID and a photo in at Coinbase. You know, if you could just buy it on a stock exchange through your IRA, that's a game changer. Singapore has been on the forefront of a lot of different crypto things. So they have crypto structures for ICOs. They are a smaller country, so they tend to be more aggressive in quickly adopting new governance policies that will make them more attractive for external investment. So there's a couple of great incubators in Singapore, a couple of big funds and exchanges have grown out of Singapore. It's not surprising to see them doing it, but it is still really cool.
All right. Next, Warren Buffett has been making a lot of investments outside of the U.S. lately. And Pat, why do people think this means it is ushering in a new golden age of crypto?
Yeah, so the high level argument is that Warren Buffett is making bets against the U.S. dollar. So the big news from last week was Warren Buffett taking a stake in five of the largest trading houses in Japan and significantly diversifying his portfolio out of the U.S. dollar. The thinking here is that Buffett sees what a lot of people see, which is issues with the way the U.S. is printing money right now, and that that's going to lead to inflation and other systemic issues within the U.S. Now, it's interesting that he would go to Japan, that has traditionally had a a big problem with growth, and he does tend to be a growth and value investor. So, you know, it's interesting, is he outside of the crypto space, it is really interesting to look at this and wonder if he sees a golden age or a kind of a boom coming to Japan, or at least to Japanese stocks. But either way, the argument for crypto here is that anything that's bad for the US dollar is good for crypto. That was the Winklevoss, Tyler Winklevoss's argument. That's been the argument since the very beginning. Things are bad for the US dollar is good for Bitcoin. Buffett moving, hedging against the dollar, moving funds away from the US is incredibly bad for the US dollar. I mean, I almost think you can't quantify that enough. It is really bad if he is losing faith in the US exchanges right now.
Great. Well, it'll be interesting to keep our eye on that. All right, next, let's discuss some of the DEXs. Maybe give an overview of them, help our listeners understand what's going on there.
Yeah, so let's talk briefly. So a DEX is obviously a distributed exchange. Distributed exchange is a on-chain. So that means that there is no central bit of software running. There is a smart contract on the chain that anyone can interact with through their wallet. So through their MetaMask, through their Trezor, Ledger, anyone can interact with one of these DEXs. They don't tend to work. So the ones that we're gonna talk about today are Uniswap and Balancer. They do not tend to work like you think of a traditional exchange. That's the thing that's really important here. So a traditional exchange has a order book. There are people that wanna sell, there are people that wanna buy. And if you want to buy and you either put in a limit order, which says, hey, I'm willing to buy at this particular price, and someone who is selling will come down and match it, or you do a market order, which says, hey, I'm going to go to the price that is being asked right now. So on the order books, there's a bunch of people that have bids out there. I'm going to go to the one that is the closest to the asking price, and I'm going to buy at that price. That's not how DEXs work. DEXs are, they use a concept of a liquidity pool, where essentially there is a balance between one. So you take, like, let's take Uniswap for a second. So Uniswap will have a pool that is two-sided. On one side is Ethereum, and on the other side is an ERC-20 token that someone would want to buy. The ratio of the tokens in the pool is the price. So there's not an order book, that a traditional order book that you'd imagine that actually defines what the price is. The ratio of those tokens is what the price is. I then, when I put my order in, what I'm putting in is, I'm not putting an order at a particular price, or I'm not even really putting a market order in. I'm putting in an order that says, hey, I want to swap a certain number of, you know, either Ethereum for, let's take Chainlink as a good example. I want to swap a certain number of Ethereum for Chainlink, or a certain number of Chainlink for Ethereum. They are trying to maintain a 50% balance of the different assets in the pool. And so what the price essentially is adjusting as people are adding or swapping these different tokens. So when I swap for Chainlink, that moves some Ethereum into the other side of the, that moves some Chainlink out of the pool, and then Ethereum into the pockets of the person who had posted it as, you know, for who had staked that coin in there. At that point, you are now at a different balance within the pool. The prices then, they have a formula then basically defines the price that they calculate, which is, and then the cost of doing these swaps. So the more you want to swap out, the more it costs to actually do the swap. And so it's a subtle, like it essentially gets to the same point, which is that I pick a price, I send an order in, and then I get coins back for that price. But it's a very different mechanism than a traditional exchange. The thing to remember about is there's something called slippage. And this is really, really important. If you're getting into DEXs and you want to play around with it, slippage is really important. The way it works is a bunch of trades are going to happen in one block. So you can think of a traditional exchange. I send a trade, someone fills it. That happens discreetly of any other trades that are happening. Well, that's not how Ethereum works. The way Ethereum works is that every 13 seconds, a block is mined. And all the work that can happen on the blockchain happens during that walk and during that block being mined. And it all happens at exactly the same time. So there's not really this notion of hey, I'm going to match to this one particular trade. You really can't do that. What you can do is you can make a guarantee. You can say, hey, I want these many coins at this price, and I'm willing to accept a 1% slippage. If the price, if Wally is trying to execute that swap for me, if the price sneaks out of that 1% slippage, it will actually roll back my trade and it will not happen. This prevents a bunch of different attacks and makes the whole thing actually work. That's the quick and dirty intro to it. Go and play around with Uniswap. Balancer is similar, but it works just a little bit differently, but it's the same idea. There are these pools that are trying to stay in balance between the different sides of the liquidity.
All right. Well, thanks for that explanation. All right, everyone. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening to the DeFi Daily. Check us out on Twitter at the DeFi Daily. Bye.
Have a good one.